Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about fear and the dyslexic mind. Are we more prone to fear? Are we more likely to get scared? How does it really work? You know, I've kind of had something come up in my life and I just want to share some of my thoughts on it and how I'm going to continue to try and overcome it in the face of fear. So let's dive into today's podcast. Okay, so let's talk about fear and dyslexia. Now, my personal take on this is that everyone experiences fear, not just people with dyslexia or ADHD. Neurodiverse, neurotypicals, fear exists for all of us. But I do believe that we experience fear in a slightly different way or a slightly heightened version of it. So I don't think fear is created equally. You know, for the dyslexic mind, our preference is to the visual emotional side of our brain. We operate at a faster speed. Things kind of happen at full pace. And I was listening to a fantastic book that is called, don't you hate it when you can see the book's like cover in your mind and you cannot remember the name? It's Dyslexic Advantage. That's the book. I was listening to it on Audible. They've just released a new version of it. And one thing they said really well is the dyslexic mind, comes up with these very clear visual pictures in your mind, visual pictures, movies. It's a faster way of thinking. But what it also does is it comes up with sensory pictures. Now, I haven't heard this term or it hasn't stuck with me in this form, but sensory pictures where you can't see the picture in your head, but you feel the picture in your body. So, you know, when you get this thing that overcomes you, it's basically your brain's moving so quickly, it doesn't even produce a picture, it just goes straight to the feeling. I thought that was a really good explanation for it. So we experience very clear visuals that take us down all these rabbit holes and these emotional feelings in our body. Now, you can already probably get where I'm going with this, is that you can see how this could affect fear. You know, if we feel like we're in a place where it's the unknown or it's unexpected, our bodies go into this kind of place of being unsure, uncertain. And because we're not that lineal, our brain looks down 100 paths rather than just the path in front of us and behind us. So our brains can create real heightened fear emotion, which triggers different results and reactions. So it's just kind of like a massively heightened version. And if we go further back in time, if we want to talk a bit more about fear, and it's my podcast and I do want to talk a bit more about fear, so I am going to talk about it. This is me having that conversation with my mind, is that, you know, if we think back to thousands of years ago, humans evolved to, you know, have a fight or flight response, an immunity response in their body. All this stuff was evolved too. And in the last few hundred years, you know, maybe in the last couple of thousand years, we've evolved at such a pace, our external world, that everything has changed. And you would have heard this from other speakers, I'm sure, of how we used to, you know, get scared if a lion jumped out of a bush or something starts crinkling on in the bush, we have to get ready to attack or defend ourselves. You know, this day and age, we don't have that same challenge. You know, those things aren't around us, but we have all these other things around us that are causing this fear response. So day to day, we're like up and down, cortisol on, cortisol off. You know, we hear a rustle in a bush and we think, what are the thousand things it could be, all within a second, and we translate that into our emotional state, which is pretty tough. And you know, there's a lot of work you have to do to release that, like, you know, there's heaps of stuff in that. But what I wanted to talk a bit about today on the sense of fear is kind of taking bigger leaps in your life, you know, real leaps that change what you're doing, because one's appeared in my life. So I've gotten to a point where, you know, my business funds, you know, my needs, you know, to a point like it, you know, I've got a shelter over my head, I've got a car, I go play football, I've got all these cool things. I'm not someone, and I find this similar with many dyslexics, not all, but, you know, you get to a point where you're like, actually, material things don't have the same value as, you know, to some people. I really don't care about a lot of this stuff. You know, as long as I'm safe, secure, and healthy, I want to move forward, and it's more about what I do in the world rather than what I have. Does that kind of make sense? Does that ring true with anybody listening? And it's a very similar kind of process I hear a lot of others talk about. And I'm kind of at this point with my business. So when I'm not doing this podcast for The Truth About Dyslexia, you know, my main role is we build websites and manage them, mainly on the WordPress platform. We do a lot of work in that space, help business owners get their message clear and speak to the world. And what I've kind of realized over the years is that a lot of the people I'm doing this for are neurodiverse. They're attracted to me because I'm very good at understanding what they're trying to say and, oddly, putting it into words. Who would have thought? Thank you, Grammarly, but I'm very good at hearing other people's kind of business ideas, thoughts, plans, products, and making them understandable by the greater public. It's just it's a good habit. I've learned a lot over it over the years, and I enjoy it. But, you know, and I've finally built this business that works. But it's not very niche. It's not very specific. It's kind of very, I kind of ride it, if I'm honest. Like, I get enough referral work to keep us going. We don't want to make it big for the sake of big. We've got some really clear guidelines on this business, and it's ticking along. But I'm at this point now where I'm going, okay, I don't want to say it's boring, but I want to say it feels like I know how and what, but I'm getting to a point of saying, why is this business still running? Why do I want to keep this going? Why do I want this to help? And you may have seen Simon Sinek's TED Talk over the years, really good about your why. I'm kind of at that stage where I'm re-looking at that again to try and understand, why am I doing this? And I see this a huge amount with the dyslexic thinkers, especially entrepreneurs, business owners. We're always trying to go, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? To a point of detriment. And I've spent a long time getting out of that because it just wasn't helpful. you know, getting out of that over the last few years has been great. It's actually allowed me to get to this point in business, and I'm very grateful for it. But I'm at this point now where I'm like, I have an opportunity now to invest some time in what I'm building and to refocus it on a niche. And the niche that you can imagine I'm thinking of and where the fear is coming up is really backing the fact that I'm awesome at working with entrepreneurs that are dyslexic or have ADHD. I'm very good at helping them, you know, get more efficient and effective, and also sharing their message online through websites and, you know, other things. That's what I'm really good at. I love it. I'm passionate about it. But I've got this fear in my gut going, you know, I'm already very vocal about dyslexia and ADHD. I'm a real advocate for it. But it's interesting. I've only let it come into my business in a very small way. I haven't really let myself shine through the middle of it as this, you know, hey, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I believe. You know, there's a fear that if I put myself out there in this way through my kind of, I want to call it an adult business. Does that make sense? You know, it's kind of like, it's the adulting side of it, that I might lose some clients. Probably won't, but I might. Or I might not attract some of the clients I would normally attract who don't connect with the neurodiversity message. Or there's a fear that, hey, the neurodiverse community won't accept what I'm doing, or they won't come. I won't get the same level of clients, or the numbers of clients, should I say. Which, you know, from all my own marketing knowledge, I know is probably not true. The more niche you are, the better you get. But it still creates this fear of change. And this fear that, can my team mold to this new message? Can my team support these people like I do? Can we get it done? You know, all of these things where, you know, you sometimes have to know you've got to rock the boat to turn direction. You know, if you turn direction, you're likely to potentially rock the boat. And, you know, there's a fear that I might fall out the boat. And with the rest of my life, I finally got some stuff working. I've got a fantastic wife, a stepdaughter, a poodle that's running around. You know, I've got a life that I really love and a lot of security. But this fear of going, if I shift this too much, if I really stand up for this thing, you know, will this work? You know, and if it doesn't, what happens? I picture whatever goes wrong, you know, I don't even have a clear picture. It's just like everything burning down in my mind. Does that make sense? And I feel that the reason I want to share this is because I think a lot of us go through this and it can keep us stuck. And it's so easy to keep it in our minds and not talk about it, not talk about it out loud. I was listening to a great podcast with Tim Ferriss, who I really respect, and they were talking about similar things. And they had a few tips that reminded me, you know, of tools to use. Now, one of them was fear setting. So going, hey, if you do swap to this focus, if you do really make a stand for the type of clients you're after, the people you want to work with, and it doesn't work, what's the worst that could happen? And, you know, the worst that could happen is I'd have to fire some team members or lay them off. I might have to change directions again, and that just feels tiring. I might have to, you know, hey, I might just have to go backwards. I might decide that I'm not good enough to solve this, to actually create a product that helps the neurodiverse community when it comes to being entrepreneurs and marketing. Maybe I'm not good enough to do it. You know, I've had failures in the past, like all of us, and that sets in. But you know, and those are fears that are appearing. So I'm looking at what's the worst that could happen, and then you kind of go further past that and go, really, what is the worst of the worst that would happen in this case? And you know, I will have talked to my wife about this. I wouldn't do anything without her agreement. But realistically, if it all fell apart, I'm gonna have to sell the leftovers of the business and go and get a job. And the decision I have to look at is what I'm trying to achieve, which is helping, you know, my tribe, my people, which is, you know, huge to me. I wouldn't do this podcast if it wasn't. Or, you know, is it worth me taking a risk on it and then having to get a job if everything really fell apart, which is very unlikely. It would have to really go wrong. And, you know, when I think of it in that frame, it's actually not that scary. Especially if I communicate along the way with the people that I love and I care about, including my team and my family. So that alone, just talking it through with you guys now, thanks for listening. It's very kind of you. You know, it already goes, okay, this isn't impossible. And I think it's really important to say this out loud as well. If you are thinking of doing this, or get this for yourself around fear, just say it out loud. Don't just sit in your head. Talk it into a microphone that no one hears if you don't want anyone to hear. Say it to a family member who understands you, but say it out loud and you could test this fear setting kind of process, because I think it is super valuable. It is super valuable. The other thing I've learned over the years as well to manage my dyslexic mind is not to just run into the next idea. Now, I think we've all got this challenge of we think we've got a fear problem. You know, we're running up and go, oh, I'm scared to take the next step. But it's an idea we had about 6 hours ago that completely means we quit our job, we sell our car, we now busk on the middle of the street with a guitar. You know, we have these ideas that come up and are full of energy. They're the opposite of fear energy, right? You know, all the good things appear and we get super excited. We uplift our life and then it falls over, or we lose passion for it, energy, and it falls apart. And so what I've learned that's really helped me around fear is working out what type of fear is it? You know, am I 6 hours into an idea, or is this something that's been percolating for months? And for me, this is, you know, the seed of this started 3 years ago, and I've sat with it for the last couple. In the last 3 months, it's starting to bubble up to the surface. I'm at a point where, you know, there's enough ducks in a row that although it's still risky and scary, it could work. And I've got enough key pieces around me to potentially make it work, which is exciting. So yeah, so those are probably the two things I really recommend with fear of this magnitude. We're not talking about little fears. We're talking about life-changing fear where things appear. So don't move too quickly on ideas. Put them in a parking lot. Sit with them for at least a month. A month is my minimum for big change nowadays. I used to be shoot from the hip and think that was cool and agile and amazing. But actually what was happening is I was just running away from when it got hard. And half the time I was just running into another wall. So it wasn't helpful. And so, you know, make sure you're actually you're actually setting the fair, correct? Because if you put 10 things in your parking lot, I'll guarantee you 9 of them will be thrown away after a month, at least. At least. And only the big ones will stick around. And then once you're there, try fear setting. Try looking at what is the first stage of fear? What is the worst thing that could happen directly from this? And then if that all happened, what would be the effect of it? So, for example, for me, it could be going to get a job, losing my business, and having to go and work for someone else or start another business in some format. So that's the worst that could happen at this point. So it's just very important to have these things thought through. And yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. A little bit longer than usual. Hope it's been enjoyable. If you've liked it, make sure you give us a like and a review. Really appreciate people giving us reviews. It allows more people to find out about the podcast. I know it's boring and hard and you've got to press buttons, but hey, if you do it, I super appreciate it. I do read the reviews. Thank you so much, guys. Have an epic day, and I'll be back on Thursday.